Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control. This is the last hour for tonight of Free Talk Live, so 603-283-6160. That's the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Joa.
And we've been talking about so many different subjects tonight, but I wanted to move on to this story from Al Jazeera. I had one that said, what are the environmental impacts at the war on Gaza? But it was a video. I didn't realize. So I looked it up again. Al Jazeera had one from December 5th that we hadn't covered. So let's just read this one. It says, is Israel's Gaza bombing also a war on the climate? And the thing about it is, maybe some of these things I can't really say that I know for sure change the climate. But
well,
I know what hypocrisy is.
I know that when something goes boom and you make a big giant fireball, I mean, you couldn't imagine how destructive that is to the earth.
Yeah, right.
I mean, no matter how much that we change it to make it a city, you're still blowing something up that requires to get more resources. It's not just, you know, the fireball that happened right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're going to have to fix it. You're going to have to build use resources from around the world,
yep,
to build these structures again. It is horrible what they've done.
It is.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I don't know what I've really, I don't have a belief about the climate change specifically, because I don't just believe things. Like, I like to know facts,
yeah,
about it, and I haven't, like, looked into it like that. But I do obviously believe that there are things humans can do that are bad for the environment.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Every time they shoot off a Tomahawk missile, roughly 500 ounces of silver is just blown up.
It
disintegrated.
I thought silver was,
I mean, it's going to be hard to find, if anything. But I'm pretty sure it just disintegrates and, like, just
so silver isn't, like,
dust.
Gold? Like an eternal, I forget what they call it, an eternal material or something.
Well, think
like
of
that.
It like this. It's on chips, right? Mm-hmm. So they're using it for soldering and for the connections and these things, so they're fast, you know, responding, because silver is the fastest conductor, right? So
mm-hmm.
They have to make these things to respond fast. And if it's all spread out amongst chips thinly, amongst, you know, 500 ounces spread out thin, and you just blow it up into a big fireball, that is scattered everywhere.
Okay, that makes sense.
You really just can't find, like, little chunks of it anywhere. It's all gone.
Hmm.
You know, so that, and how long does it take to get 500 ounces out of the ground? Like, how much labor?
Depends on the operation.
I know, but, like, it means something significant.
Yeah.
500 ounces times, let's just say, 25, you know, that's a lot of money, $25.
There's,
right?
Like, 500 ounces in, like, a typical bomb is what you're saying, or you just kind of make it?
Each Tomahawk missile.
Oh.
Tomahawk missile,
yep.
Oh, okay. So,
and more in other missiles and other technology that gets blown up constantly,
the silver is, like, you know, the least offensive of all the chemicals, and not to mention even, like, the bullets that have depleted uranium.
Sure.
And people, like, why do they use depleted uranium?
Well, it's
uranium
illegal,
to make,
right,
a bullet.
Technically,
they got them everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
Iraq is in parts of is covered with depleted uranium, and the reason they want to use uranium is because it's so dense.
Hmm.
It's way heavier than copper or steel or lead.
Yeah.
And same thing with silver. Silver is way more dense than lead. So if you actually made a bullet out of silver, it would penetrate, you know, armor, you know, way better than lead, because it's more dense.
I just can't imagine being a person who sits around designing these things, building them, and being fine with that. Oh,
you mean, like, could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine being, like, a war sort of inventor?
No.
So you invent things for war,
people
and you see how much
war.
Like John Stark and Iron Man, right? Like I imagine like that's how these people live their lives.
Right.
Like
it's just as crazy as like sitting whenever you learn about like the Spanish Inquisition and the people sitting around thinking of new ways to torture people. It's just as crazy.
Yeah.
We should consider it crazy.
When people become in such positions of power, mm-hmm. there's no check on them. You know, and then they end up being like, you know, a Hunter Biden, for example. You know, just able to get away with all
yep.
this kinds of stuff forever and forever. And just
yep.
because for generation, you know, for at least one generation, you know, that family or a couple generations, they've been able to get away with all kinds of, you know, horrible things. So, just all the political crime families, whether they're the Clinton crime family, the Bush crime family, the
yep.
Biden crime family, you know, they're just, you know, these guys, this is why the founding fathers put, like, you know, power should never be, you know, allowed to be, like, you know, within a class of men or within a family.
Hmm.
You know, that was, you know, one of the things.
Like monarchy, yeah.
Right, because, you know, you get what we got now,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Well
I just, like, I can only imagine, like, it just has never ended with all these, like, things that they've built and stuff. But I just remember, like, going to, like, the Renaissance Fair and going to the torture area, and like you walk through this thing, this building, you see all, it's like a museum of all these torturous devices, and I, you know, it's the same thing, the same sort of people are around nowadays, so the building is something that, you know, is a projectile.
Yeah, it really is. Before we get into this story about Gaza and its environmental impact, we have David from New Mexico on the line. David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling a man about a horse.
Yeah,
today, I'd come and see, I'd go to see a man about a horse, but you're too far away, so I'm going to call you instead. You're talking about people career building. Excuse me, I don't feel well, so that's why I'm not on the ball yesterday or today.
I'm sorry. Okay, what's your question about the horse?
Well, I'm going to wait on that for a second, but my a cousin of mine, Nobel Prize 1939 physics, that was his job. He helped make the A-bomb. He was Ernest Orlando Lawrence. He made all of the fissile material at Oak Ridge National Lab, and he won the Nobel Prize for inventing the first cyclotron, the Large Hadron Collider.
Really?
The first one of those. Yeah. They named Lawrence Livermore and Lawrence Berkeley National Labs after him.
Oh, cool. And that's out of Massachusetts?
Lawrence is in Lawrence Berkeley, Lawrence Livermore, that's California. And then when he was Manhattan,
I didn't know that.
When he was with the Manhattan Project, he was running Oak Ridge in Tennessee, and he never gets any credit. And by the way, the family did regret that his work was used to make an atomic bomb.
Sure.
To the level that his wife actually petitioned the government to take the family name off of...
Get out of here.
No, for real. You can actually find this online. She petitioned the government to take the family name off of Lawrence Livermore and Lawrence Berkeley National Labs because she didn't want her family name attached to the atomic bombs.
Mm.
I forget what I was saying. There's something else about that. I'll come back to it if I remember. Let's go back to the beginning when I started listening. Oh, and I called right now, Bonnie, because you said you wanted to move on to whatever jive you wanted to move on to. And I'm being silly. I'm not actually criticizing you.
Jive?
But I don't want you to move on. I wanted to stay with the agriculture.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's why I called now to intentionally interrupt you guys.
You can bring up whatever other topic you want.
That's right. This is talk radio. We control, right?
Yes.
We control.
Right. Well, it depends. if you're in the controlling mood, you can call up and control it. And if you're not really in the controlling mood, you can call up and troll it.
Or you can derail it.
Or you can derail it, right. So, excuse me. Jay, though, that was actually, you're talking about pigs. That was one of my, as a small child, one of my many jobs on the farm was to go get 5-gallon buckets with a spade. 5-gallon buckets of black soil and take it into the farrowing barn to each of the, there was like 32 sows in there, and when they had littered, then bring them I don't know, a couple of spadefuls every day for the little pigs to root around in so that they could get their iron naturally instead of having to be injected with iron shots.
Right, right.
And one step better would have been to have, instead of having farrowing crates in a farrowing barn, you'd have put them out in the pasture and farrowing, put the crates out in the pasture. If you use crates at all, so that the little pigs could run around and in the soil themselves without being in the barn. Chitin is what you're talking about, Jay. The chitin, it's chitin.
Oh, the cricket.
Exoskeletons of crustaceans.
Oh, yes. That does sound familiar.
Thank you for that.
No, no sweat. Which I've eaten chitin all my life because when I eat shrimp, I usually don't bother to peel them. I just, after they're cooked, I just pop the whole thing and chew up all the chitin with the nice shrimp flesh.
Let me ask you this. I was talking to Bonnie earlier about this, but do you eat the actual fin, like the shell of the shrimp?
Oh, yeah, the shrimp tail.
That's what I'm saying, the chitin. I just pop that whole sucker in my mouth and I chew it up.
Yeah, it's delicious, right?
It creeps me out.
Yeah, it's got better. It adds to the flavor.
Absolutely. If you just chew on that at the end, you get like probably more of the flavor out. I think it's just not soft, whatever. But you break it down, it eventually breaks away. You can swallow it. Yeah.
I don't like them. I think they're gross. I feed it to my dog.
She needs to try it.
No.
By the way, if you actually order your shrimp or cook your shrimp battered and deep fried, butterfly, jumbo shrimp, whatever, you're eating the shell anyway because that's in there. They're not peeling those butterfly shrimp and then battering them and deep frying them.
I don't eat that. It's fried in a bunch of crap.
But you shouldn't. It is, but it's tasty every once in a while. You got to have some guilty pleasures.
Yeah, it sucks. They do smell like they would be good, but I don't think I've ever had it because I used to not even like shrimp. And then when I started eating meat and stuff, I started eating it. But thanks for the call, David.
Thank you for calling.
Got a horse question.
Oh, I didn't hang up on you. David, are you still there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Can you go ahead and ask your horse question?
Yeah, and it's not just one question, so you can give me whatever time you want on horses, and then I'll call back next week and ask about horses again.
Okay. What did you want to ask?
Jay, I grew up on a farm. I had a horse out in the pasture whenever I got in the mood, which is basically every afternoon. I'd go out there and throw a bridle on. I wouldn't waste my time putting a saddle on, but I'd throw a bridle on. This was three quarter, and one quarter Arab, and the sucker liked to run, and so I just get out on bareback and go down the field path at 35 miles an hour or whatever, which is quite an amazing experience if you haven't done it, especially if you haven't done it bareback as a 12-year-old. All my life I've wanted to get to the point where I can actually buy a horse or two or three or four or six again and play around with them, but since I finally got around to actually seriously thinking about it, which I may or may not accomplish, it occurred to me that with the expense of horses, which can be and actually is, if you pay cash for a $2,000 motor vehicle, a horse is going to cost you way more than that motor vehicle is going to cost you. So it occurred to me that it might be a wise, smart financial move to, instead of just buying a horse, buy a papered horse. And then, so I started to think about papered horses. My favorite papered horses are paint horses. However, it then occurred to me that why do I never see, and this is the first question, why do I never see paint horses that are basically quarter horses at rodeos? Do you know the answer to that question?
Well, so when you say at a rodeo, so are you talking about
okay. We're not talking about rough stock. But, oh, and by the way, I did ride.
You're talking about a cowboy's horse.
Stock.
A cowboy's personal horse. He's either bulldogging off it or team roping barrel racing.
Barrel racing and roping. I'm not talking about rough stock.
So I will tell you that the paint horses are considered to be flashy, and just because they're flashy, good-looking horses, they just bring a lot more money. The thing is, if you're at a horse auction and there was a paint horse going through there, especially if it looked like maybe one you saw the week before or the month before, probably something wrong with it. So, like, it's either going to buck you off or it's got, like, a lameness issue. And I will tell you, A lot of my experience with the paint horses, when they've bred them specifically for the color, and that's what they're looking for, there's a lot of other traits that sort of, you know, become diminished. Like they seem to like either break down a little bit easier, or they'll maybe sort of have a bad attitude. And a lot of the reasons, so a lot of the roping horses, for some reason, they're just ugly. The best roping horse, one of the best roping horses we had, you know, had a short little neck. He had a big head. He was like a roan color dapple, like he had some white spots on him. I wouldn't say he was dapple, but he was like the, you know, reddish roan. And he was like short backed. His conformation sucked. But this horse could just do his job. And the other thing too is a lot of the really well made roping horses, from the cowboys I roped with, they were basically horses that they couldn't sell for, you know, yearlings as high dollar. So they had these horses just hanging around that would sort of, that they just used in part of their operation. And if the horses didn't get hurt in the operation, and they lived to be, you know, old enough to be mature, to be really good, you know, then, you know, it takes a long time to make a rope horse, for example. You're not roping off a 3-year-old. You can start them, but you're not going to a rodeo and performing on, you know, like young horses. And so a lot of the guys that were breeding horses, they would, you know, from what I could tell, the good-looking, flashy yearlings you sold for good money, and then the horses that you worked on the ranch, was something that wasn't of a high-value horse. So if, like, you were a car dealership, you wouldn't take the flashy platinum F-350 and, you know, throw a wrecker body on it and go haul cars with it. You would take something that was, like, beat up and not good-looking and, like, go do that job with it because, you know, the flashy truck was worth the money. So I want to give you a little suggestion, David. If you kind of like horses, I want to recommend, if you want to write this down, and check these guys out on, like, Spotify. So there's a band called Corb Lund and the Hurt.
Oh, I know him. I've known Corb Lund for 20 years.
Oh, all right. Awesome. So, like,
longer than that. I discovered Corb Lund in 1999.
Well, like, I love, like, that song, Raining Horses and Veterinarian Blues, because it just kind of, like, you know, I my life was like that, you know, up until about, you know, 12 years ago, especially growing up as a kid. Like, all that, you know, talking horse trading, cowboy, you know, rodeo, you know, kind of country music just, you know, resonated well with me. But I'm glad you know who Corb Lund is, because I love that kind of music.
Yeah, he's good. So and where I was going with that question is, so if a person, you know, my favorite animal is a paint horse that's in the quarter horse conformation, because they're basically a quarter horse. But what I was wondering is, and you kind of answered that, and I didn't expect that the paints would command, excuse me, would command more money, because I thought the non-paints would, because apparently people at the rodeos were avoiding them, and so what I'm looking for is if I wanted to have horses and make a little money by doing a little bit of breeding and training and then selling them off to help pay for their room and board. Are you in a better position if you're breeding papered paint horses or papered quarter horses or what?
Well, it depends who your clientele has. So, for example, so rodeo cowboys are not paying big money for horses. Understand that. It is the lawyer's wife. It is the doctor's wife. The trophy wife that is going to pay the big money for the horses. So they are going to sort of command, you know, the marketplace for these flashy, good looking, because, you know, it's the rich wife that is the one who's going to, you know, pay the money for the good looking horse, to where the cowboy don't care what that horse looks like.
Right.
You know, he's all about the utility of that horse,
right,
not the looks.
So the answer to my question then is, I don't need to, if I want to try to get a little payback for my room and board that I got to put up for, I don't need to avoid a good looking paint horse breeding line, is what I'm hearing from you.
Right. So the thing is, like, you know, like, you know, lesson horses right now are really bringing huge money, like good lesson horses. And a lot of like form, a lot of horses that were trained to be reining horses. And you know, reining is, you know, if anybody wants to YouTube reining, reining's a, you know, those horses are very well disciplined and well trained. And those horses are also real happy just to be kids riding horses a lot of the time. They make really good riding horses. The other thing that commands the best money is small ponies that are super broke will bring hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What do you mean broke? Like broken in, like they're not fighting?
Well, broke me. Well, a broke horse is
super
a horse
friendly.
That, not, that is trained very well and responds very well. So if you like bring up a video of like a reining competition, you'll see what these horses are doing. They spin around, they slide. They're like, that's a broke horse. He just does his job really good.
Yeah.
If you look at like the pony hunters, so a pony is a horse that's under 14-2 hands and there's 4 inches to a hand. So, and so if you have like medium and small ponies that are really broke, like a 7-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid can get on it and ride it and not get bucked off and have a good time. I have watched time and time again, those ponies sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now you're selling these to elitist people, like people who like own prisons, people who are, you know, in, you know, basically parasite class is what you're selling it to, you know, oil, you know, type, you know, barons.
Oh, Ian and Arya's landlord.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, so my brother trained horses for a guy that he was a owner, I believe, in Wackenhut. Wackenhut is like a big prison industrial complex there.
I did some work for Wackenhut on Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
It's what you guys are talking about, like these people working for the prison industrial complex as being parasites too, because today Ian was telling me everything in his jail cell and all the products they give you, it's a brand called Bob Barker. And he was like, no, but it's not the Price is Right guy. And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then someone brought that up in the chat just now. I was like, that's really weird. It's so weird when you learn about something for the first time, and then someone completely unrelated brings it up again.
Yeah, it's like when you start driving a Jeep, you start noticing all the Jeeps on the road.
Yep, it's exactly like that. So weird.
There's actually a name for that phenomenon, and I forget what the title is. But it
someone
was
brought it up like a couple weeks ago. I can't remember either. But yeah, it's a very common phenomenon. I think being a rodeo clown is the craziest job ever. I've seen people do it.
I trained to be a rodeo clown when I was a teenager.
Did you ever actually do it?
Like, not really. Not, like, professionally, but...
Wow, so scary.
I think they like to be called bullfighters.
I've never heard that, honestly.
Bob Barker is America's leading detention supplier.
Yeah, but it's not the same guy. Just
no, it's not. It is not.
603-283-6160. One more segment tonight of Free Talk Live coming up.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
USA News Update. The Biden administration is urging Israel to increase precision in its Gaza attacks, according to National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby.
Efforts Israel is now undertaking to be more surgical in their targeting and efforts that they are taking to help increase the flow of aid.
U.S. officials are advocating for more humanitarian pauses to facilitate hostage release by Hamas and enhance aid delivery to Gaza. A significant storm is moving up the East Coast with heavy rain and strong winds, causing some flooding and
and down trees and wires and unseasonably warm temps Sunday into Monday. While weather can change at a moment's notice, it looks like the track of the storm will be from the Chesapeake Bay area to the southern New England area. U.S. Army Sergeant Macy O'Hay just made history by becoming the first active duty female to pass the Army's sniper school. That's the latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. And this is the last segment of the night, so if you want to call in, call that number. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Jay, and Joa.
And we were just about to get into the environmental impact of this genocide in Gaza. I don't really think it makes sense to call it a war.
Oh,
are there two sides fighting back and forth?
Yeah, which is basically nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
So even as far back as... So I'll just read a quick clip here. Mm-hmm. In the award-winning article, Fluoride Teeth in the Atomic Bomb, journalists Chris Bryson and Joel Griffiths discuss how the first lawsuits against the U.S. A-bomb program were not over radiation, but over fluoride damage. The lawsuits were filed by a group of farmers in southern New Jersey whose peach orchards were destroyed and whose animals were made sick by heavy fluoride emissions from the nearby DuPont factory. The DuPont factory, located in Deepwater, New Jersey, was doing contract work for the U.S. government and was producing massive amounts of fluoride to keep up with the government's increasing demand, according to Bryson and Griffiths, 1997.
And, you know, I'm actually not surprised about this because... I'll just say someone that I know said their time in Florida prison was terrible in the sense that they pretty sure they're being poisoned with, basically they were feeding the prison population like depleted uranium or something, and they were doing that to neutralize it all, because when it goes through the human body and you pee it out, it's neutralized.
Right.
But yeah, it's they try to get rid of byproduct, and it's everywhere, especially in uranium production. I guess it's fluoride, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's uranium or plutonium, but definitely from the A-bomb, there was all kinds of fluoride. So basically, the fluoride that they're being put in your water, the fluoride that's being put in your toothpaste, is this byproduct of making nuclear bombs. It also could be a byproduct from aluminum, refining of aluminum from aluminum ore, from what I understand. And they're just essentially filtering it through the kidneys of the population. It's another reason not to be on city water or cities.
I know that city or companies like to put all of their byproducts used to just make the ultimate amount of money that they can make. Is that all this is? Like, do you think that they basically brainwash dentists to tell them that it's good for your teeth so that way they could get rid of this byproduct they needed to sell? Or
it's totally to make us docile in the sense that a pineal gland is supposed
to become calcified.
Yeah.
Pineal?
Fluoride.
It's funny because Hitler was very successful at doing this against the Jewish population.
I've heard that he used fluoride.
But he copied it from the United States.
Oh, wow.
So actually, two places. Rhode Island was the first state to make it like law, like a mandated thing for towns. But only half the towns do it. But the first place to actually start, they actually like tested it in the water, believe this or not, Michigan, Flint area, Ann Arbor. They tested fluoride in the water there first.
And here's the thing about fluoride. When your body gets fluoride, your body thinks that fluoride is calcium. It basically, so calcium and fluoride can attach 6 electrons, essentially. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that fluoride attaches really well to itself is lead. So this is where, lead, like, generally isn't really an issue. If it's in, like, the water or in, like, the environment, it'll mostly just pass through your body, from what I understand. But as soon as fluoride becomes part of the ingredients, now fluoride is like the catalyst for the body to really absorb the lead,
hold on to it,
and cause some serious damage.
Whoa!
I used to participate in a lot of anti-fluoride activism in Denver, Colorado, with this group called WeAreChangeColorado.org. Basically, it was kind of a spin-off of Luke Radowski's We Are Change. It was like a subchapter. And
more about environmental things?
That was one of the things. They would definitely go to the Colorado, the Denver Water Board stuff, and they would, do a lot of activism there, like bullhorning, the water board in the auditorium and stuff, because they just wouldn't listen to anything, and we would pass out flyers about... the poison
people.
Of fluoride. Well, they would arrest you too because you're interrupting.
Yeah, we are just like an activist group, but like more of like the truth movement of sorts, and like they did more like ambush journalism to get the hard questions.
We had that clip 2 weeks ago of
not just Luke, but
Luke. But I think it was like with We Are Change in that clip. Ambushing Henry Kissinger, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Luke basically is We Are Change. He started We Are Change. And then there was a lot of local We Are Change groups, but the Colorado We Are Change crew, they were like really active. They really did a lot of good things. They spread a lot of word. And the other thing too that happens with fluoride is the reason the municipalities use fluoride is because there's a lot of federal financial incentive money coming into these little municipalities for poisoning the local population with the fluoride.
It's terrible. Terrible thing. So, what are they doing in Gaza? What stuff is this going to lead to? Are they going to start being like, oh, you need uranium in your teeth in 100 years in Gaza? This story from Al Jazeera says, is Israel's Gaza bombing also a war on the climate? Gaza's water, soil, and air have been devastated, and reconstruction will add to the carbon emissions. And that's what Joe was saying, too.
And carbon emissions are total garbage.
My thing is the hypocrisy,
Right.
Like, these are the same people that are, the same countries and politicians that are backing this war are the ones that want to control your life and not let you buy a F-250 or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to bring this up. Isn't Bethlehem where Jesus was born?
Yeah.
Isn't that in Gaza? Isn't that on the West Bank?
Well, Gaza and the West Bank are two different places. So the West Bank is actually in the east side of Israel, which is so weird. And then Gaza is actually on the bank, you know, of that, whatever the water, I can't remember it is, what it is right now, the sea there, Jordan or something. Yeah, so Gaza's on the west. But
I'm searching it right now.
I have no clue if
Bethlehem Palestine. I'm searching for it. Instead of looking at Bethlehem, Israel.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I have no idea. Why do you ask that specifically?
I just feel like, imagine, like, this Christmas, we find out the, like, potential birthplace of Jesus was bombed.
Wow. It's terrible.
I mean, it's not too far. And we should think about this. Like, you know,
I guess the Israelis,
this energy that, this super energy that happened there, the Jesus being born and spreading his love and everything, and his peace, it's being, literally that area is being blown up.
And it sucks because Christians, Jews, and Muslims used to live in peace in Palestine. Like,
right?
They would have taken, you know, better care of it. I just think this is all
that was
crazy.
Before the military-industrial complex became so decentralized. So centralized, I'm sorry.
Oh.
All of these people that Nikki Haley's been working for a long time, and making all kinds of money with are, you know, they just need war. I mean, they're planning next decade's wars all right now, these psychopaths, just like they've been planning, you know, this inside job of October 7th where a bunch of, you know, people on paragliders came in and, you know,
magically got past, like, the highest border security in the world.
And they had all full knowledge of it. There's plans going back 7 years that they've discovered. The New York Times has published this and some other big newspapers. So, yeah, it's a hardcore inside job, and you know, this is what the military industrial complex wants. They need distraction. They need war. This is how they make their money. This is how they enslave the people. And also, you know, when you take a country like Gaza and you control it like they have, and there's, you know, articles about how, you know, Netanyahu is somehow connected to sending all kinds of money over to Gaza to keep Hamas, you know, going and flush. And you brainwash all these people and torture and abuse them for their entire childhood.
Right.
And then you literally create your own enemy. And that's what they want to do. They want to, you know, they, them, and those who will not leave us alone, you know, the people in control, the people that, you know, should not have power, they're constantly manufacturing, creating enemies.
They're also manufacturing.
Bethlehem is in Palestine, and it is probably likely
Gaza attacked.
It's in Gaza.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just south of Jerusalem, like. I don't know how to explain if you guys even know what the map looks like.
Well,
but
I can't really tell what I'm looking
at. Yeah, it's just his Jerusalem, his Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, I just wanted to, like, think about that for a moment.
Yeah. You know?
What does Jesus and Christmas have to do with each other?
I think people made that
up.
He was
born on Christmas.
That's the story. From what I understand about the Bible, you know, Jesus was born while the shepherds were in the mountains grazing the sheep, and they weren't doing that in December. Because there's a bunch of snow in their mountains.
Oh, is it snowing? Does it snow in Israel?
So it had to be like April.
Wow.
When they were grazing the sheep.
I have heard of people say
is it snowing right now in Israel?
I don't know.
It might be, especially in the mountains. I don't know.
You're not in the mountains in the northern hemisphere in December grazing sheep.
And I have heard, like, I don't know the details about it, but I have heard people say that Jesus was likely born in April. Don't know what that is behind it, but I think that the reason that we say that Jesus was born on December 25th, it's tale as old as, you know, internet conspiracy theories. It's just telling a story about the sun. So the sun starts being, you know, it goes from the shortest days to the first time that it's a baby sun. And then it gets older. It's like the strongest in the summer. It's an old man in the fall. Then it dies on the solstice, and then it's like born again.
And the Christmas tree, where does that come from?
Probably pagans.
Right. So the guy's name was Nimrod, King Nimrod, who basically, you know, banged his mother and made babies with her.
Is that like Babylonian or something?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But the story I heard was that if anybody, he loved his mom so much, had babies with his mom. This is where, like, you know, Nimrod comes from. So he basically had a bunch of retarded kids.
Whoa.
And then they had the fir trees, the Christmas type trees, you know, going up to the castle. And if you basically didn't, and December 25th was his mother's birthday, and if you didn't, like, worship his mother and bring his mother gifts, Nimrod would have you decapitated, and hang your head by the hair. So this is the Christmas bulbs that hang from the Christmas trees.
Oh, my God.
Leading up to, you know, the mother's castle. And this is actually a thing I heard on Coast to Coast AM years ago. And, then I read some stuff all about this, you know, King Nimrod. And, but yeah, it's pretty interesting. But it's just a commercial holiday to, you know, encourage materialism and, you know, sort of young children get very excited about it and their brains get, you know, developed into this materialism mindset and then expectations and it really drives the economy hard. And, I kind of hope that, like, the Christmas season, like, is very poor for big corporate, you know, consumerism.
I told my mom, I was like, no, I don't want any gifts because if I give you a gift and you don't like it, it's the wrong color or blah, 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 you can't return it. And you're stuck with this gift that reminds me of me getting the wrong thing for you all year. And I was like, and then this is... And I was like, if there's one gift you can give to someone that they're going to be reminded of them every day of the year, get them a bidet.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's just the
They'll think about you every time that thing tickles you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's just the only way to use the bathroom at this point.
I was thinking about getting my mom one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she can think about me every day.
I don't know why you'd want her to think about you while you dance, but she will be so grateful.
Yeah, every day.
I'm honestly, I just can't believe Americans don't use it. It doesn't.
Yeah, it would save a lot of toilet paper.
It's
got to be a conspiracy with the toilet paper.
Or just they don't want your digestive system moving. Sorry to paint a picture, but it's
if the best
healthier that way.
My favorite gift for Christmas that you get every year is like, dang, now the days are getting longer. You know, that's the idea, right? That's the idea of Christmas.
Like,
well, no, the gift is that days get longer after Christmas.
Okay, yeah, I like that too. I don't like that it's dark at 4 p.m.
No, I don't like how it's,
Yeah, I don't know why I misunderstood what you're saying. I thought you said you didn't want it.
Well, that's the whole idea. It's a sun worship type of thing.
Yeah.
But see, I looked at it as in reverse because, like, instead of being born, the way that Zeitgeist kind of described it is
that's
like,
what I was referencing.
Know,
I couldn't remember the word.
The sun disappears for 3 days and then, you know, and then reappears as the sun has risen, right? So it starts to go up more on the horizon. So it's reverse to the being born part.
In Zeitgeist, they say there's like an imaginary cross made out of
the stars.
Like when you're divvying up the stars and the constellations to make the zodiac, it like creates a cross.
Right.
And not Jesus, but the sun goes from directly on the middle of that cross after 3 days of being like under it or something like that.
It doesn't rise for 3 days. It doesn't go any higher or lower. It's always going at that peak. It's always the same for 3 days.
Oh, you mean during Christmas?
Yeah.
But I mean during Easter. That's when it is on the cross.
Right, right.
So that's
that was Easter? I thought that was Christmas. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We could be both wrong.
You gotta watch Zeitgeist again.
Yeah,
they had it right, apparently.
Zeitgeist.
Instead of reading books, I'm gonna watch this movie.
Yeah, I listened to Mark Passio talk about Zeitgeist. I never even saw it myself,
so
I could be wrong too. But we all brought all that up because we're talking about Gaza, and I think this is hilarious. Apparently, the United Nations Summit on Climate Change is called COP28. Yeah. It says many of the world's leaders are gathered in Dubai for COP28, the annual United Nations Summit on Climate Change. Some 2,400 kilometers, which is 1,500 miles, to the west, meanwhile, Israel's war on Gaza is raging. 60 days into the war, Israel's bombs have killed at least 16,000 people, and this was December 5th, including more than 6,600 children. But increasingly, experts are also worried about its effect on the environment and on Gaza's ability to combat climate change. Oh, my gosh. That's just kind of funny. Like,
that's nothing compared to what the Americans killed in Iraq for children.
Yep.
You know, Hillary cackles, you know, with glee about the 500,000 she claims. And it was, and I've heard numbers where it was 1.5 million, you know, Iraqi children were killed.
Yeah, they don't want to tell the truth.
Right.
Don't have to. I believe it, but even this is just adding to America's numbers, really, because America's supplying a bunch of this stuff, encouraging this war.
Without America, you know, stealing, you know, I don't know how much money, billions of dollars per year from its poor people and giving it to the rich people over in Israel, which is, you know, financial aid, Israel would not exist.
Insane amounts of money. Right.
It's like $4 billion a year.
I thought it was like $15 billion a year, but I don't know, but it's crazy.
Just for Israel, I think it's like almost $4 billion.
Okay, well, but yeah, it's crazy. I mean, any amount of money they gave to Ukraine, actually, I was reading an article the other day, something like half of that money they've given to Ukraine was used to buy U.S. Treasury bonds.
Oh, what? What? Oh, they're trying to secure the future.
Well, keeping the treasury, you know, U.S. Treasury bonds of some value because, you know,
someone
the rest
have to
of
want
the world
them.
Is dumping them.
Yeah, nobody wants them. I mean, like, they're a terrible investment. You can do so much better than that. So it says, on the ground, this war has destroyed every aspect of Gaza's environment. Nadia Majdali, the Ramallah-based Palestine director for EcoPeace Middle East, told Al Jazeera. Here's a look at how the unstoppable bombardment of the enclave could further affect climate change in a region that has already seen temperatures increase. Now, listen, I don't know much about, I don't really have an opinion on climate change, but I do believe that there are things people can do to harm the planet we live on. And the other thing about it is, it's just hypocrisy. Like, the United States wants to control your life, make sure you, you know, only can buy a car that can do this because blah, 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 carbon emissions, while they're paying to destroy 2 million people's home, land. How is that good for the environment?
And these are the same people that are probably behind the scenes right now trying to manufacture cans of air. You know, like they're trying to sell you air in the future like they did with water.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
It's, that's terrible.
I feel like this is a thing. This is going to be a thing. Or they're going to start taxing us for breathing. Or you know how it is, the carbon tax. I feel like there's going to be something.
It would be coming up because they tax us for everything else.
I mean, it's not a bad idea to get into an industry that accepts carbon credits. The reason why is, like, they're going to be sought after. They're going to be highly valued. Even though it's a fiat thing, so, like, you can create carbon credits by producing and the state awards you for doing something good for the environment.
I wouldn't want to trade with anybody who was diabolical enough.
Of course, but
so it's like investing in Hitler.
Yeah, you should invest in Hitler.
Yeah, but you still take U.S. dollars. I mean, it's the same thing, but see, it's going to increase in value is the thing.
I think that's a step ahead
the U.S.
than just using U.S. dollars, even though U.S. dollars are blood money and
the U.S. government itself might be definitely the largest polluter in the United States of America. If you look at the Mississippi Delta, they have what's called a dead zone.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And basically, like, fish can't live there. There's, like, an algae bloom that sucked up a lot of the water. And what it comes from is, like, tremendous amounts of synthetic nitrogen.
Uh-huh.
And all of this is only possible for one reason of all this nitrogen, and it is called farm subsidies. And all these farm subsidies require to use synthetic manure, synthetic nitrogen.
Terrible.
And if you look at basically the entire Mississippi River Valley area, all the watershed area, which is basically, you know, the Continental Divide east, and then, like, you know, like Pennsylvania west, you know, that Rocky Mountain, Appalachian Mountain west area, it all runs off there, and that's, like, you know, the breadbasket of America.
And shouldn't a delta be, like, brimming with life because it's,
correct,
like, the deposits of all the good stuff, usually, if you're not throwing poison on the
farms
all around?
There's so much chemical fertilizer runoff, so much chemical pesticide runoff, herbicide runoff, fungicide runoff, and all of that stuff is all required to get the farm subsidies. To get a farm subsidy on crop subsidy, you need to use Monsanto growing practices.
Yeah.
And
that makes me so mad. So many people have discovered, like, better ways to make plants grow than using synthetic herbicides and stuff like that, and pesticides. And one of the things I think is kind of a conspiracy theory, the reason that they teach you every year that George Washington Carver created peanut butter, and that's all they tell you about him, is because they don't want you to look more into him, because he was a huge advocate for regenerative farming even back then. Like, they had just started using poison.
Yeah, you had to be conscious of it, you know?
And he was showing how he could go and make people's farms 10 times more profitable just with, like, natural farming techniques. And he was one of those early people saying, like, we should not be doing this, you know, nitrogen-based fake fertilizer and stuff like that.
Well,
and
this is why they have dust storms, is because they're manipulating fast-growing crops and that is
planting
depleting
the same spot.
Everything.
Yeah, they're not doing regenerative farming. Yeah. It is terrible. That's why I think the Dust Bowl happened. Because it's like, it's never happened again.
And these forever chemicals that are in all of this stuff, like the cadmium, you know, the lead, there's all kinds of heavy metals. There's, you know, the reason you have like a whole bunch of people that are essentially gay, you know, is a lot to do with a chemical called like atrazine. Atrazine is a chemical.
Is that what Adam, I mean.
Alex Jones was saying made the frogs gay?
Right.
I mean, the hermaphrodite frogs? Probably.
Oh.
I believe so. So atrazine is a chemical you sprayed on the ground in, like, you know, Nebraska, and nothing grows for 2 years.
Whoa.
No weeds or anything will grow for 2 years. And they do that to preserve the water, to keep the moisture in the soil, because they want to dry that ground for, you know, keep that ground, you know, nothing growing in it for 2 years. So when they do plant something in there 2 years later, it'll grow and produce a yield, and it's usually like wheat.
It's just like kind of evil. It's crazy. It's there
couldn't happen without government subsidies.
Yeah, there are these people that wanted to go get rich, and then they were like ruined the farm doing this, and then move on. And they created the Dust Bowl. What were you gonna say, Joel?
I have some sad news. So I looked this up. Christmas celebrations in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ, are set to be all but canceled this year. So they're not doing any celebrations in...
Because it's a war zone right now?
Yeah.
Whoa. That is crazy. I mean,
Christmas is canceled in Bethlehem.
It's crazy because, think about this, so many Christians, and actually we've had some good people call in saying they're Christians and they're anti this war, but so many Christians are just like, oh, well, I back Israel 100% no matter what, all the time.
We should end the show with a little prayer to God. God, would you please show us an example of what happens to people who cause and make war and wreak havoc?
God.
Do something to the evil people. And so the good people will be encouraged to never be evil. Make an example, God.
I believe that karma is real. It's Free Talk Live. You can find us at freetalklive.com. You can check out Joa at Breaking the Flaw on YouTube.
Oh, thanks.
Yep.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extend.